commentator Gene Marks is good at stirring up controversy on the web. His last commentary was titled, Steve Jobs was a jerk, good for him. But that firestorm was nothing compared to the one over his newest work called If I Was a Poor Black Kid. Here's an excerpt. If I was a poor black kid, I would get technical. I would learn software. I would learn how to write code. I would seek out courses in my high school that teaches these skills or figure out where to learn more online. I would study on my own. I would make sure my writing and communication skills stay polished. Now, Gene Marks is neither black nor poor, and some wonder why he would be giving advice to those who are both. One of those people who questions that commentary was comedian and writer Baratunde Thurston, who wrote his own response to Gene Marks' article. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Baratunde, I got to ask you, I mean, Gene Marks, this was commented on by a Forbes staffer who responded to the Gene Marks controversy by saying that contributors to Forbes get paid according to how many hits they get on the internet, and therefore that encourages them with money to be controversial and offensive. So is it better in the case of something like this to maybe ignore it?
I wanted to ignore it. I actually did myself personally ignore it for several days. There was a big firestorm. A lot of friends and colleagues were sort of screaming on the internet back at this wrong thing that was posted. But I think there can be some, because it got so loud and because it attracted so much attention, that you have to call out things that are sort of inconveniently wrong from time to time. And I think his intentions may have been good, but his results were so ignorant as to be possibly damaging. And when you have something like that, it's worth going out and saying, hey, this is wrong. So
what was essentially wrong with his argument? He was saying that, look, it's much harder for somebody who's in an inner city neighborhood, and here's the advice I would give you on how to get yourself ahead in the world.
I think there are many basic sort of logical fallacies to what he said. Primarily, he sort of acknowledges he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's guilty of vast oversimplification. And so here's a guy who says, look, I'm not poor, I'm not black, but here's the answer. And whenever you kind of start off with a premise of essentially, I don't know what I'm talking about, but hey, here's a really complicated problem. Here's what you should do. Here's what I would do. It comes across as so condescending and sort of disrespectfully judgmental. He may not have meant it that way, but it was really a harsh oversimplification of a really hard problem that, you know, it's people who are not going through the problem proposing their simple solutions sort of disrespects those who are actually in the situation they claim to be trying to help.
All right, although his original piece and your respond make for a classic piece of reading, I encourage people to read both of them.
It was bad grammar to begin with. If I was a poor black kid, it's kind of a painful irony that you've got this guy talking about essentially the value of education to help people in poverty, which
and
is
screwing
on
up
its
his
face,
tenses.
Not a wrong argument. And then he uses, you know, the bad grammar. Okay.
Baratunde really Thurston, comedian, writer, co-founder of the black political blog Jack and Jill Politics. Also with us this morning is Carol Swain, who's a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I understand that you yourself were a bootstrap girl. You were a high school dropout. You went on, obviously, to become a tenured professor at Princeton. So are you kind of an argument that the advice Gene Marks gives in this article is good?
I understand why people are offended. But when you read past If I Were a Black Kid and get to the substance of what he suggests, because if you look at it as suggestions, I see some value. I see a possibility for someone who hasn't thought of these ideas to be able to take that article and those suggestions, pull from it, and provide, you know, guidance, teachers, professionals who struggle with young black kids with information that could be very useful.
Oh, so that sounds like you think his article may be useful for those who assist kids in urban neighborhoods as opposed to the kids themselves.
I mean, there are some young people who believe in themselves, and when I think about my childhood and my early youth, I mean, deep down I always wanted to make something of myself, and I grew up believing in the American dream, and because I believed in the American dream, I was able to help, you know, realize the possibility and to actually live the American dream. And I think that there will be some young people that might read an article like that and see hope. The problem is, how would that article ever reach the population that he's discussing? It would never reach the population he's discussing unless other people take it to them.
And Baratunde, your other argument is that if it did reach those people, that they'd feel like this guy was condescending.
I don't think so.
Hang on, just a second, Carol.
What I found condescending, and I think in this case, Carol and I are not necessarily coming from too far of a dissimilar place. I was a poor Black kid. I grew up in D.C. I was in an inner city. The schools were not amazing, but it wasn't just what he says is, hey, child, be amazing, be better, find all these things, just get better grades. Like, it's a simple statement to do. And I know in my own particular path forward, it wasn't just because I wanted success more and decided I'm going to be great and work harder and create paths for myself. It was because I had a support network around me which also believed that. And that wasn't simply a solo choice of a young child to somehow grab the American dream all by myself. It was because my parents were there. It was because community organizations were around to help me. And it was because the schools themselves had more investment in them at the time than I think they do today. And so when you speak directly to a child and say, be better than you are, you vastly undercut and sort of describe or under-evaluate what's really required to move forward, which is much more than the will of a child. It's the whole network and community around that child.
Well, if he was trying to spark a conversation, he definitely has. It's all over the blogosphere, and it's obviously inspired this conversation as well. Thanks so much to Baratunde Thurston. He was responding to Jean Mark's article in Forbes, along with many other people, and Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
So continuing our conversation on the article in Forbes, which casts Jean Marks as a white guy imagining himself as a Black child with no means of support, as Baratunde was describing in the previous segment, going out and getting it online. Jeff Yang joins us. He writes the Dow Jones column for The Wall Street Journal. What do you make of that argument? And, you know, I was listening to Baratunde and I thought to myself, it sounds a little bit like Baratunde might have taken the advice of Jean Marks, even though he had never read the piece, in his own success. What's your response?
Well, you know, I wrote a piece on this as well, responding in our It's a Free Country blog here at WNYC. And the tack, I think, that a lot of people have taken, and I took as well, is that it's not even so much whether the advice itself is at its core good. It's really whether it's ultimately practical. It's whether, you know, just as Baratunde was saying, by urging people to be awesome, they can instantly be awesome. These resources will appear magically, and they will be able to make the choice to be great.
But aren't you basically stating what the Bush administration would have called the soft racism of low expectations? Isn't that what that is?
Well, you know, the way I see it is this.
And I'm not a big fan of Jean Marks, let me be honest with you there.
But anyway, nor am I.
Low expectations is a form of racism.
Perhaps, but you know, it's not even so much about expectations. I mean, you can expect great things, but it's sort of like telling people to lift their game when the rules are broken and when there is no equipment. It's like going out to play baseball without a bat, right? And the thing I think which is most unfortunate in some ways about the piece is that he uses Obama's big Kansas speech, the Teddy Roosevelt speech, talks about inequality, as his peg, and he says it's a great speech. And what Obama was talking about in that speech is how government needs to actually provide the tools for people to be awesome, right? But his own column was all about essentially, let's just do this rugged individualist thing, be radically individualist and do it on your own.
Well, except he wasn't excluding the possibility that the government could help, but here are these other tools, you know, that come from, you know, one's own motivation. What do you think the response would have been if Baratunde had done this particular piece? Obviously, he didn't. He took the exact opposite. But if it was a young African American making these same sorts of points?
Well, you know, it is interesting that in this entire debate, no one's actually really asked any poor Black kids themselves yet what they think, because most of those guys don't read Forbes. But the fact is, there have been African Americans, including Obama, who have made similar types of statements in the past. Bill Cosby, very famously, was very critical of his own community, saying that that people have to actually embrace.
And took a lot of heat for it.
And took a lot of heat for it. So, I mean, I think there are two issues here. One is that the person in particular who's writing about this seemed really disengaged from the reality of the people he was speaking to or of, not even to. But the other is the actual advice.
Isn't there a permission question? Certain people have permission to give this advice and others don't. And that's the sort of political correctness argument, which I don't necessarily want to get into here. But, when you're talking about what other people should do, you better make sure you have the credentials to be credible to them.
And that really was what I was talking about most, that, if he'd actually wanted to speak from a position of some sort of moral level on this, then he should have gone out and talked to people who were experts and talked to the people themselves about what would work and what wouldn't.
Although I think he clearly wanted the response,
as
sort of suggested at the top, and he definitely got it. And if you want to join this conversation, of course, 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Our good friend Jeff Yang's going to stick around for our weekly follow segment, but he writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks, Jeff.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.